Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Bill Ferguson. He's the founder of the Facebook group Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse. He's speaking to us from Port Moody, British Columbia. Bill, welcome back to HowStreet.com Radio.
Well, thanks very much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here again. The last time I spoke to you was December 2019.
Yes, and back then inflation wasn't running at close to 8%.
That's right. Yes, and it's been interesting what's been happening since then. Not long after we spoke, of course, the pandemic hit, and there was a lockdown in March of 2020. And the Bank of Canada rate plunged literally within a month. When I spoke to you, the rate was 1.75%, and by the end of March of 2020, it was down to 0.25%. And that, along with massive Bank of Canada quantitative easing, you know, buying up mortgage bonds to suppress the mortgage rates, that's what led to round three of this massive Hindenburg bubble.
Can you tell us a bit about your Facebook group, Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse?
Sure, yeah. It began at the very tail end of 2017. I got sick and tired of all the talk going on around town about what the causes were of this. And, you know, I mean, growing up here all my life for almost 68 years, I've seen this thing before. This is nothing new. Vancouver's always been bubbly. And for usually the same reasons. And I thought, well, you know what? This needs to be documented. And, you know, the mainstream media is not going to do a deep dive into the reasons for what's going on, then maybe I should do it. So there you go. And it spun off from there. Some members of our group went on to create the Toronto Housing Market Bubble Facebook group. There's one on Vancouver Island called Vancouver Island Housing Market. And there's also another group called Canadian Housing Crisis Discussion Group. And the members range. We have a broad range of members. Well, for one, you would know who Hilliard Macbeth is. He wrote "When the Bubble Bursts." He's a really, really good writer, and he knows what he's talking about. We have realtors, mortgage brokers, company CEOs, academics, financial experts, media reps, owners, renters, politicians, journalists. So we have a very wide range of members here.
How can people join Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse?
Well, I guess if they went to Facebook and Googled it, went to Facebook and plugged in the name of the group, they would probably find it, or they would be able to Google it, I'm sure. It's out there. It's quite evident to most people that they, want to find it. It's not hard to find.
Now, the last time Vancouver had a real estate collapse was back in 1981-82. We had a combination of high inflation, high interest rates. So, and that was followed by a severe recession. How does that early 80s market compare to today's Metro Vancouver housing market?
Yeah, well, I remember that era very well. It was quite a shock to a lot of people after the huge run-up we saw in home prices to see them come crashing down the way they did in the ensuing recession, and that dragged on for years. It wasn't over in a hurry, that's for sure. I've said to people, I said, back then we had high rates, which equaled low prices, and this time around we've had low rates, which have equaled high prices. So essentially it's the same. I mean, the whole market is out of whack, and it has to, at some point, return to, basic fundamentals, price income, price rent ratios and whatnot. And that looks like it's already happening. I mean, rates are now going up, and there's going to be a lot of pain out there, financial pain for a lot of people.
On the Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse Facebook group, you have bulls and bears. Are you seeing the sentiment changing as mortgage rates start to rise?
Yes, indeed. There's a lot of chatter out there. A lot of people are very concerned. We're getting a lot of, and I don't like to rely on speculation and hearsay. I like factual information for the most part, but some members are reporting, you know, neighborhood price declines for various homes and other people that they are familiar with who are running into financial difficulty now that they have to renew their mortgages. It's also out on Twitter how some people are running into problems. And it's just a matter of time before this corrects as it was always meant to. All housing bubbles pop, and this one I think is going to be quite a severe pop.
We saw a chart that said adjusted for inflation, the 2022 Canada real estate bubble is over 35% higher than Japan's real estate bubble back in the late 80s. What could this mean for the Metro Vancouver housing market?
Well, I remember that as well. When the Tokyo real estate market, for example, peaked, I believe it was 1990 or so, and they crashed. They've been in the ditch ever since. Prices went took a tumble, and they stayed low from that time. I mean, the Japanese housing market is quite different anyway, in a lot of respects. But I can see the same thing happening here. There's no reason for these valuations. It's just it's based on emotion and not logic. Once these kinds of things take off, you know, all bets are off. You just never know which way they're going to go, especially on the high side. And this has taken people by surprise. There's no question about it. And anybody who says they saw this coming, well, I don't believe that for a second. You know, you get a lot of criticism. What do you know? You know, meanwhile, prices have gone up in the last 2 years. And they say, well, you know what? It's only been piled on higher and deeper. The market was correcting in 2018, 2019. The last time I spoke to you, it was correcting. And then, again, Canada's plunge protection team, the Bank of Canada, the CMHC, you name it, they all jumped in to turn it around during the pandemic. And so it's only been piled on higher and deeper. It's even worse now than it was then. It was a bubble then, and it's even a bigger one now.
Are home prices already dropping in Metro Vancouver?
They are, actually. There's a site that I often look at online called My Realty Check, and the creator of that group, he's a member of my group, and he posts every day asking price changes in asking prices. And in the city of Vancouver, which I focus on, because traditionally Vancouver, the city of Vancouver, has always been the epicenter of every boom and bust in this province. As it stands for this April, asking prices are dropping on a 2-to-1 ratio, actually more than 2-to-1 ratio. And, for example, today, there were 341 changes to asking prices, and the number of, drops were 243 versus 98 going on the upside. so median prices are also falling, not only in Vancouver, but in throughout the GVRD, especially from a year ago. And March 2021 was the all-time peak for sales. And, prices too, I believe. I'll have to check that. But median prices are falling. Sales as they stand right now, since last month, they look like they're projected to be down 18%, 20% for detached. From a year ago for this April, down 27% and 37% for detached. And since the March 2021 sales peak, down 38% overall and 47% for detached. So it's on the downtrend. That's the trend, and you know you got to base everything on the facts, on the numbers, not just, you know, hysteria.
Do you have any thoughts?
Wishful thinking.
Do you have any thoughts on how far the Metro Vancouver real estate market could fall this time?
Well, you know, I've kind of used up my allotment of predictions on that. I'll just go on a limb and say a lot, quite a lot. I am quite convinced that what we will see on the downside regarding prices will take people as much by surprise as what we saw on the upside. I mean, the pendulum can swing both ways, and it often does. These interest rate rises are, and this whole thing has been, as I say, based on cheap cheap borrowing cost. It's always been the case. Everything, every other reason is, in my mind, peripheral at best. It's always been about the cheapest rates in Canadian history, and a lot of people got drawn in, especially over the past 2 years. They only look at the monthly nut. They don't look beyond and, you know, focus on why things are the way they are. They just look at the here and now. And a lot of those people who took out maybe short-term mortgages are going to be caught up in this renewal process at higher rates, and it's not going to be pretty. So I hope that answered the question. I can't remember what the question was.
In past real estate bubble bursts, do they tend to drop the most in a short period of time, followed by a continuing erosion?
It depends. A general rule of thumb is that a housing correction takes about half the time to complete as the previous run-up. But this one has been so long in the tooth. I mean, it's made up of three parts. It began here around 2003, and it peaked in 2007, 2008. And that was when the U.S. Fed dropped their interest rates in response to the NASDAQ collapse on Wall Street, the 2001 9/11 attacks, and the recession that was going on at the time. And then we followed suit, which sparked immense housing bubbles in both countries and in other places throughout the world. And then when those markets started correcting and actually crashing in 2007, 2008, ours was also correcting here. And it was on the news. It was, you know, it was going down. But again, the CMHC and various levels of government and the Bank of Canada stepped in to stop that correction dead in its tracks and goosed it more. And the intent was to create a wealth effect through rising home values to mitigate any negative consequences or fallout from the great financial crisis at the time. So they wanted to encourage consumer spending. And what better way than to, you know, goose the value of people's homes? That way they can take loans out against their homes and buy all kinds of things. And that's exactly what they did. If you've taken a road trip around the province, you see all these expensive motorhomes and boats and trailers and trucks and expensive cars. Well, that money's coming from somewhere. And it certainly isn't from wage gains. Most of it, in my mind, being borrowed by taking out loans or what they call HELOCs against people's primary residences. And people also went out on limbs and invested in condos and other investment properties, and some made out very well. But as they say, you know, sales are slowing now, but sales, a housing correction isn't about sales, really. It's about price drops. At the end of the day, when a bubble has finally burst, that's what people talk about. They talk about who made out like a bandit and who got crushed. And the trouble with a housing bubble is that they always burst, and they leave a lot of damage for the overall economy later on. You know, some people might gain, but others lose. You know, not everybody can be rich. That's a fallacy. So I think it's going to be quite a serious downturn.
We'll have more with Bill Ferguson right after this. Welcome back. We're speaking with Bill Ferguson. Bill, are HELOCs, home equity loans, Canada's version of subprime?
Well, I suppose they could be looked at that way. The recent Stats Canada figures say that HELOCs increased by 1% in February, and we're talking billions and billions of outstanding loans. So people have made use of them to, you know, buy all kinds of toys or other investment properties. And, you know, I think some of those people that ran out and bought condos, especially in the last 2 years, are facing great risks. The market is not only going to turn on them, but the big developers, they can offer steep price discounts and incentive packages and blow those people right out of the water. They won't be able to compete with that. So they'll be left with this condo as an investment that is maybe, in some cases, cash flow negative. And rather than being able to sell it, they might try and rent it out. I mean, some money is better than no money. So that, in turn, will ease this rental crisis that we're seeing. I've seen that happen before, so I can't see it not happening again. So people are concerned about, you know, the lack of rental availability, but I'm sure that will turn, too. The market begins to turn, and the speculators get wind of that, then they'll all rush for the exits at the same time and list the properties. And as they say, when they can't sell them, they'll try and rent them out.
Do real estate investors tend to hang on to or list their properties for sale when markets turn down?
It depends on the psychology. Some investors hold long-term. They say, oh, no, I'm a long-term investor. And others are just get in quick and get out quick types. And I think we've been seeing a lot of that. So, you know, the notion of loss aversion is very real. A market could be going down, 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 but people are loath to sell at a loss. They will hang on for dear life, hoping that it will turn around. So you'll have a lot of those people out there. And, you know, people have been known to ride all kinds of assets right from the top to the bottom. I mean, we saw that with Nortel and other big companies during the NASDAQ fiasco. So it depends on the person, and it depends on how much, you know, how much money they have bulging out of their pockets and how long they can withstand it.
Are you getting any direct insight from realtors?
Oh, yes, we have realtors on the site. Some of them are, you know, trying to pump things, and they're usually shot down because they don't have a case. They never did. Others are quite open about what they're seeing and you know, are very forthcoming. They're not trying to hide what's going on. So it depends. As I say, the group has a wide range of members, and you'll get all kinds. You know, you'll get the pumpers and the shills, which, you know, you can send them packing in a hurry because, they, like I say, they don't have a case. There's never been a case for this. And as I say, you know, all markets correct, and this one will correct quite a bit. And people who are also going on about, well, the government won't let it happen, I say, well, come on. You know, if they were all that concerned, we wouldn't be in this mess to begin with. You created this mess, or the bank, along with the Bank of Canada and so on. So now it's their turn to figure it out. And why should they be concerned at all about people's real or imagined home equity? It doesn't work that way. So nobody's coming to the rescue, this time around anyway, to secure anybody's home equity. You just have to take your lumps, because when it goes down, it's going to go down with a thud.
Are people with pre-approved mortgages at lower interest rates for up to 90 days likely to keep the market buoyant for a couple of more months?
Well, that's the chatter out there, that there are people that are still out there looking to buy because they are, you know, they still have pre-approvals. But I don't get the sense in that at all. I mean, what they would gain by, you know, shaving off a couple of points on their mortgage interest will be more than offset by what they'll see in the way of real price drops. So I don't get the reasoning or the logic behind that. But, you know, to each his own. Some people just have to have a place to call home, and come hell or high water, they'll do whatever they can to do it. So everyone's different. That again, was the intent of my Facebook group, to shine a light on this, to let people know that this has happened before and that they usually end badly. And that was my main goal, to warn people, because, like I said, I've seen this before, not only here, but I've seen it in Ireland. I've seen it all through the U.S. I've read about it for ages. You know, it's out there. You just have to find it. But as I say, the MSM, or the mainstream media, they are loath to go there. They will be perfectly content, for the most part, have people be in the dark on this. Their ad revenues from the real estate industry are absolutely enormous, and they like to keep them happy. So you're not going to see a lot of chatter about what the ultimate causes were for this and or where it's headed. It's just not in the cards. That's why I appreciate this, you know, this format, HowStreet.com, because you will actually go there.
Are rising variable rate mortgages likely to affect the housing market?
Probably. I'm sure a lot of first-time buyers, especially in the past year, got caught up in this frenzy. They got into the market, maybe bought a 500-square-foot condo with the most minimal down payment possible. They probably took out the cheapest variable rate mortgage they can get their hands on. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, because they're going to watch that down payment of theirs evaporate just like that. They could be faced with an underwater mortgage, the worst things get. which is no fun. I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place. What if you have to sell for some reason? What if you have to move? What if you get a divorce? What if you get a job transfer? So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people in between a rock and a hard place. It's not going to be nice because those rates were, there was no way that those rates could last. And anytime we've ever seen a drop in interest rates, it's always because it's a sign of a weak economy. It's not a sign of economic strength. It's a sign of weakness. So now that inflation is rearing its ugly head, the only option left for the Bank of Canada is to jack up rates to try and cool it off. And that's exactly what happened in the early 80s, and that's exactly what led to a severe housing crash here and in the U.S., and with a follow-up recession, which lasted for a long time.
Mortgage rates are set in the bond market in the late 70s, early 80s. Did the mortgage rates run with the bank rate or ahead of it?
I don't recall that especially, but I do know that very much like the oil companies, when you go to drive by a gas station and the price of oil's gone up, well, they're Johnny on the spot the next day to jack up the price of the pump. So when the Bank of Canada rate goes up, usually it's passed on to the consumer right away. And I think that was the case back then too. I remember walking into the Royal Bank on Columbia Street in August 1981, and the prime rate was 21%. And mortgage rates were trending around 18% at the time. Well, no wonder things crashed the way they did. But like I say, high rates, low prices, or low rates equal high prices. Pick your poison. There's always going to be a correction to reestablish, you know, basic fundamentals.
What happened to vacation properties in the early 80s housing collapse?
I can't really tell you that for sure. I'm not sure. But as is often the case when there's a severe downturn, it's usually the toys that are the first to go. You know, the trailers, the boats, the motorhomes, the cabins and cottages and whatnot. People are loath to give up their primary residence. I mean, you have to live somewhere. And they will give up a lot of things before they have to go that route. So, you know, these things don't happen overnight. A housing crash doesn't happen overnight. It's always a process. And I do believe that there are probably a lot of foreclosures waiting in the wind. You don't have a massive, massive Hindman bubble like this without a corresponding amount of foreclosures down the road and people up to their eyeball in debt. So there's going to be a lot of financial reckonings coming for a lot of people down the road. And it's not that far down the road as far as I'm concerned.
Is the media coverage narrative starting to turn negative on the housing market?
It seems to be. But some of them are still dragging out the usual excuses like, oh, it's the Chinese, it's money laundering. You know, there's no hard evidence, especially regarding the Chinese. There's no evidence at all. They drove this market. I mean, they were an effect and not the cause of it. I mean, they just joined the party when they were here, such as they were, 15, 20% of them, of foreign buyers, that is. They made up a percentage of that. When there's a housing bubble going on, it draws other people in. Nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. And the people think they can make a buck, they'll invest and, you know, hope for a good return in a few months or a year's time. And then when the market started to falter in 2016 and it started to, you know, trend downward, and then they brought in that foreign buyers tax in 2017, hey, all the foreign buyers magically disappeared. Which begs the question, if Vancouver is truly where it's at, and, you know, there's so much potential for this market to hold on long term because you're never going to lose. It's Vancouver. Why would those people have left? Well, they left because they saw the writing on the wall and they haven't been back since. So some people are still going on about foreign buyers and shell companies and people buying by proxy. And I say, oh, come off it. You know, just gotta buy in Vancouver. It's the last thing I ever do. Just gotta. I mean, it sounds stupid because it is. I mean, there's other beautiful places, just as beautiful throughout the world, with nice weather and a lot cheaper cost of living. And, you know, there's a lot of arrogance and conceit in this city about this city. It's always been there. I don't know why, but it always has been. And I think Mr. Market is going to be giving a lot of Vancouver homeowners a severe spanking for that arrogance and conceit. They'll be finding out.
Now, according to stats released by Metro Vancouver back in December, Planners say there will be 3.8 million people living in the greater Vancouver area in the next 30 years, an average growth of 35,000 people a year. How does that affect the housing market?
Well, that's the latest meme circulating around there. In my mind, is to encourage FOMO buying, which is, means fear of missing out. The fact is, immigrants, either in Canada or any other country, never stopped any housing crashes in the past. I mean, if you talk to the Americans, they never looked at immigrants as playing a major role in their market, either up or down. And you ask the people in Ireland or Spain, how badly their markets, how their markets went up and then crashed. They never pointed fingers at immigrants or EU migrants. And in Europe you've got a lot of mobility. You can live anywhere you want if you're part of the EU. So that's just another story making the rounds. When people talk about 400,000 people coming a year, well, you got to break it down. There's a lot of people that, well, not a lot, but people emigrate from this country. They're not taking into account the birth-death ratio. They're not taking into account that a lot of these people are in family groupings, so not every one of them is buying a house. Some are part of family reunifications. They're moving into already existing housing stock. So it's just another way for the industry to try and encourage people to buy, to try and incite a little bit of fear, because they're coming. You better get in now. Don't buy it. Don't let them play.
Yeah, in the stock market, that's called pump and dump.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've seen a lot of that in real estate here, too. Boy, have we ever.
Bill, how can people join your Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse Facebook group?
Well, just go find the site, like I say, Google it or look out for it on Facebook and put in a request to join. And it's basically that simple. If you have a real interest in what's going on, like I do and always have, having grown up here, you'll find a lot of information. And there's a lot of articles that are posted, not only about this market, but other markets throughout the world. I mean, this market is not only correcting here now, it's correcting everywhere. Australia, New Zealand, the U.S. is starting to wobble. China, China looks like it's turning into a big mess. So it's not just here. And the reason all these places are correcting is because the amount of money that was sloshing around during the COVID era is now drying up. Interest rates are on the march. They're going higher. And it's always been about the cheap money. That's it. So, yeah, they can find me if they look, and they're more than welcome to join.
Bill, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, thank you very much again for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My guest has been Bill Ferguson, founder of the Facebook group Metro Vancouver Housing Collapse. He was speaking to us from Port Moody, British Columbia, just around the corner from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bill or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.